Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Verna. I will be your host this evening alongside Vivian. We will be discussing current events, politics, and anything that's going on in the world today. Well, hello, and welcome to the Real People Podcast. This is the Verna and Vivian Show. Hello, Vivian.
Hello, Verna. How are you today?
I'm good. So today, I want to thank our listeners for tuning in today. We are going to be talking about various subjects today. The number to call in is 516-531-9257. Today, we're going to discuss voting. We're going to discuss the COVID, what's going on with COVID, and give you an update on that. And also Trump's town hall and that whole thing, what happened there. And so also I forgot one more thing. The main topic today is about the peace talks that the peace treaty that President Trump displayed the other day. So I'm actually going to let Vivian take the lead on that. Vivian, can you kind of give us an update on what happened with the peace talks with Jared Kushner and the Arab countries, the peace treaty?
Okay. Yeah, well, okay, so here's my thing. I when I first heard this, I was like, great, all right. Peace in the Middle East, that's a wonderful thing, right? I mean, who doesn't want peace in the Middle East? And so basically what it is an agreement with United Arab Emirates and the government of state of Israel. And basically what they've done is, I don't know if it's necessarily a peace treaty, to be honest with you, because, you know, you and I have talked about this off air. But it is a economic agreement to work together, like in travel, tourism, and one other category, industry. So and it's more along the lines that Kushner has got some benefactors together that are willing to invest in those countries, like trillions of dollars, if they would, you know, kind of get along, or at least make the appearances of getting along. Because, like, when we really dig into the details, like I was saying before, is that it's really more about just bringing economic prosperity to the region. It's not so much as I'm not going to mess with you, or we're going to sign some type of peace treaty together. Because I've yet to find anything within the Abraham Accord that really talks about any type of peace agenda outside of it. It does have like a little thing that says like that they will establish like a peace diplomatic relationships and normalization bilaterally ties between the two of them. That's about the extent of it, because everything else is more along the lines of like economy and things of that nature. So it's not so much as, and so it's a win-win, of course, for Kushner, who actually put it together. And then, of course, Trump's taking the credit for it, which, okay, so Verna, I'm going to let you talk for just a minute, then I'm going to come back. But okay. I kind of feel like this is more, I don't necessarily, I didn't feel like really a peace treaty so much as it seems like more of an economic agreement.
Okay, so yes. I'm with you. I didn't, you know, think it's a peace agreement because some of the evangelicals are praising this whole thing because they think that it has been prophesied. This is like the beginning of the second coming of Christ and all this, you know, when all the Arab countries come together and they form an alliance. So they think it's a part of that whole thing. But all the countries are not there yet. All the Arab countries are not in on this yet. And then, to me, this whole thing is kind of fishy. And the reason why I say it like that is because our president has Paula White, who is, you know, one of the big, you know, evangelicals, you know, has one of the big mega churches and all that. Well, they're in the president's ear all the time. And they're telling him they want him to fulfill this prophecy. And, you know, so to me, if you're telling somebody to do something, it's not the same as it being fulfilled naturally.
Organic.
You kind of understand what I'm saying? If somebody's telling you to do it and you're doing it, that's not the same as it coming together naturally by somebody making the decision without being, it's being manufactured to me. And I'd read somewhere, you know, on some conspiracy website, which I'm not saying it's true because I don't want to be one of those kind of people, but they were saying that they're also going to have a big reveal, like the second coming of Christ, which is going to be some kind of weird thing that comes out of the sky and it's going to look like Jesus Christ and this whole thing. And I think it was called Operation Blue something. But anyway, it's some kind of weird thing that's supposed to happen. So all this kind of stuff with it. And then the president is wondering why he's not getting a lot of credit for it because his credibility is just zilch. I mean, he lies like on a regular basis. So even if he does something good, people are skeptical about it, like me, about this whole thing. So I can't get behind it. I mean, trust me, I want peace like everything. But somebody said there today, well, how can it, you know, you say peace when these people, these countries that's in on the agreement, they weren't at war with each other anyway. They already had trade agreements. So they don't, you know, and the fact that Netanyahu is involved just lets me know, you know, this man is wanted in his country. But, yeah, I think he's been indicted on a few things. So, I mean, he doesn't have credibility. So I'm not even running with this deal. So out on it. I'm just real skeptical about it.
Okay, look, let me jump in here, and let me just speak on the evangelical side of things because you are so right. Another reason why this issue is a big issue is because they're trying to bring about prophecy, and the prophecy of the
right.
Bible and the Torah is for the second coming of the Messiah. Now,
right.
The difference is, okay, so the Messiah in the Torah and in the Messiah, which is a Jewish Bible, and the Messiah in the Holy Bible is totally different. They're two different, whereas because the Jewish people do not recognize Jesus at all. Oh, they recognize him as a high priest who was very much highly evolved, but nothing more than that, definitely not the Messiah. But that's, okay, that's a whole other thing. I'm not going to go deep into that. But, so, you're right. They are trying to bring about prophecy, and we know that the prophecy can only be fulfilled if there is a peace agreement in the Middle East, period. So what they've done
right.
is, I agree, they have manufactured this agreement because, once again, we can see in the Bible, and they can even see in their Torah with Abraham and Sarah, that you cannot do it on your own and expect
right.
it to be the will of God.
Right.
It must be God's will, and it must come about organically, like you just stated a few minutes ago. You can't manufacture it. It doesn't work. So if you read some of the stuff right now, like you said, the conspiracy theory and stuff like that, there are rabbis now that say that the Messiah is actually here. They just haven't revealed him yet. And so they've got to go through these different steps first in order for the Messiah to come forth and say, okay, this is the true Messiah, and that's going to be revealed by the Jewish community. This is all theory. This is all conspiracy theory like we were talking about before, but that shows how politically ingrained some of these countries are. And I'll give you something else. This thing has been going on for a long time, because one of the things they don't talk about in public is Netanyahu and Kushner were actually, Netanyahu and his father, Kushner's father, were actually friends. He's known Kushner since he was a kid. So this is something that they have, and then, of course, Kushner marries Trump's daughter, and then Trump gets elected to president. This has all been in the works for a while, because Netanyahu has always tried, once again, if you're a Zionist, Zionists are trying to bring about that prophecy.
Right. Yeah, I can believe
that. You
feel what I'm
saying? Just like what you said,
yeah.
You cannot manufacture that prophecy, but they don't believe that. They believe as long as everything lines up, then everything is fine. And if you go out there and look, there are some rabbis that are on public record right now that state that the Messiah is there. And I'm looking, just so you know, that the Holy Bible say that certain things need to come. He said that the stars from the heaven got to fall before Messiah to come back. And I'm just saying, if I don't see the stars fall out the sky, I ain't trying to hear it. That's just me.
Well, I tell you, last week when they had the, San Francisco and the California fires and Oregon fires and stuff, when the sky was orange, that was pretty damn scary.
Oh,
I must.
Was it not?
When you saw those, the way the sky looked out there, there's a lot of things happening. We're in a plague, and we got a lot of people don't know the truth. We can't get to the truth anymore. It's just a crazy time, and I never thought I would be living in a time when stuff like this would be happening. I mean, it's all Orwellian and all that kind of stuff, but you just didn't think that you would be living in a time when all this stuff is happening. And right now, our country is really suffering, and we have so much going on. But on that subject there, Vivian, I really don't have too much to say about it, except for, my skepticism. And other than that, I'm just not really, down with it. And like I said earlier, I believe in peace, and I hope that we can get it. At the same time, you can't manufacture things. Things have to fall into place for everything to work the way it's been prophesied. So anyway, why don't we go and take a – I know it's probably not – it may be too early to take a break, but let's go to a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about President Trump's town hall he had the other day, and then voting and the election, okay?
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Okay, we are back. The number to call in if you want to join the conversation is 516-531-9257. Okay, Vivian, so let's talk about President Trump had a town hall the other night, and he had undecided voters that got a chance to ask him questions. And so it was. I usually don't watch his stuff, but I did watch some of it, and it was very interesting, some of the questions people were asking him. And a lot of the voters that was asking questions, they were purely frustrated after, you know, they gave an interview and they were saying they were frustrated because President Trump lied to them. But he just cannot tell the truth. He cannot. He even said, like, this one girl asked him about him misleading American people, you know, on the coronavirus, you know, letting us know the severity of it, and he said he did not do that, but Bob Woodward got him on tape talking about you know, it's just insane. And then this other lady asked him about, you know, pre-existing condition and what he was going to do about that, and then he said he was not going to, you know, mess with that at all. And then George Stephanopoulos, the host, had to remind him that he's in court now suing to get rid of the Affordable Care Act and pre-existing conditions. So it's just, I don't understand why he just cannot tell the truth, even on his own policies. You know, he contradicts himself. It's just insane, and I don't know why. And then people, conservative media, gets on Twitter and said that Trump was ambushed. He wasn't ambushed. This was stuff that, you know, he has said himself. When you use his own words against him and ask him, well, he could just answer the question. Then he says there's no racism in America. Oh, it's just – did you watch the town hall at all?
I did not watch the town hall, but this – but look, so got some clips and stuff. But let me just tell you, for the simple fact of that tomfoolery that you're talking about right there, why am I going to watch it to just be more frustrated at the fact that he is not telling the truth? Come on. Just like, you know what, when he went, and I'm paraphrasing, but when Stephanopoulos asked about COVID being a defining moment, like a moment where he could shine, and he was like, no, it wasn't. Well, and truth be told, yes, it was. If you had just taken the time, And even if you didn't hold those 3-hour press conference, you know, if you had just taken the time to reassure the people, one, you probably would end up with a soundbite that outlived you in history, just like what happened with Kennedy. But no, instead, you just sent out more inflammatory remarks versus unifying the American people. It would have solidified his next term if he had simply said, listen, you know what, we're not completely sure what we're dealing with, but what we do know is that we are America strong and we are going to get through this. If he had just said a simple little thing like that and stood on it and said nothing else, kept the mouth zipped, no Twitter, he probably would have come out okay, and people would have thought he was very presidential. Now, let me just say, it doesn't bother me that he didn't come off presidential. I'm just saying it could have made, because we already know that COVID-19 will go down in history. Will have some, people will feel some sort of way when they write about you when this comes out. So why don't you lean on the edge of just doing the right thing? I'm just saying the right stuff. Behind closed doors, I'm sure presidents, that we've heard years later after they've died, have said some craziness in the Oval Office, but they kept it in the Oval Office. They didn't send out a tweet or send a message out or say remarks that just divides the country. You know, even President Obama, even with him, when Trayvon Martin was killed, he knew he had to make a statement. But instead of him just upsetting everyone, he said, yes, that could have been my son. And then he went on to talk about the history of the country. And then he went on to say, okay, this is the history, but this is where we are, and this is what we can do as a country. It's not finished. We can do this together. That's what you do. Come on, man. And then to just piss people off during a town hall meeting when you're running for election is not a good thing.
Yeah, that was a disaster. I mean, it was a disaster town hall for him, because it could have been good for him had he owned up to his responsibility, but he takes no responsibility for anything that's going on in the United States except for anything good. If it's good, he takes credit for it. But if it's bad, it's not Trump. It's somebody else's fault. And the CDC guy was on Capitol Hill yesterday being drilled by Congress, they asked him questions about what's going on. And he's saying that the one thing that can save us right now, if everybody would mask up. And this is another thing that Trump keeps giving us mixed messages on. One hand, his administration saying wear the mask, but then Trump goes to his rallies and tell people not to wear a mask. He contradicts. It's a reckless disregard for human life when you have a indoor rally when you know it's a pandemic going on. Why would you even do that? And then he makes the people that come to the rally, he makes them sign waivers and stuff, but I wouldn't do it. Why would you even do that? Because that letting you know that he knows that it's very severe, but yet and still he's not going to take responsibility if something happens to you. Why would you? That's got to be a cult-like behavior. I just couldn't understand why anybody would even want to participate in that. Even if I liked his policies and stuff, there's no way I would go into a rally full of unmasked people during a pandemic.
Right.
I just wouldn't do it.
Right.
And I just think that Trump is just, as a president of the United States, he is totally being irresponsible. And I don't understand why people still support this kind of person. It just boggles my mind. I just can't understand. I can understand you liking some of the policies that he wants to put out there if you're a conservative. But this total irresponsibility for human life, packing people into places when you know it's a pandemic going on, I just don't get it. I mean, what are your thoughts on that whole thing?
Well, I think that he speaks to a certain people. I think the evangelicals are some of them. And let's be clear, there are different types of evangelicals. And so they're actually broken down to about 7 different groups. So you can't group them all together and say they're all voting for him, because they're not. But I have to say that some of them are voting for him because of the policies. They cannot get over the fact that the Democrats are pro-abortion and, you know, things of that nature. They can't get over that. So that's fine. I personally am never going to take anyone's right a way to vote, period. I don't care who you're voting for. The right is yours. As far as Trump himself, though, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard because at the end of the day, the character of this president, I'm trying to be nice about it, but it's not really I don't know if it's a behavior that we should have in the White House. It's just that simple. I'm not sure exactly why, if he doesn't remember some of the things he says, or he just simply loves to just spew a lot of stuff that's divisive. Because all of this stuff, everyone's feeding off of this. we're having all of these troubles in the United States right now with the police and everyone else based upon his tweets. Did the other day he tweet like 70 times?
Yeah, I mean,
it was like Sunday.
Yeah, I think that his whole thing, and Mama Rosa told us, she said that Trump lives off of the chaos. And even some people think he's a Manchurian candidate picked by the Russian Kremlin, and that his whole to sow discourse in the United States, get everybody all off balance and against each other while the Russians take over. So, I mean, it's a crazy thought, but, you know, online you just hear all kinds of stuff. And I don't know what his deal is with Vladimir Putin, but it's this, you know, he never says anything bad about him, and he's not going to. But anyway, getting back to the whole voting thing that I said we were going to talk about, I mean, I could talk about Trump forever and a day, but he's a part of this whole voting thing. But, you know, he's getting people to believe that voting by mail is fraudulent, and we've been doing it for 200 plus years. I mean, it's the I'm so not looking forward to Election Day, because I just believe it's going to be total chaos, just total chaos because of all the stuff. And then even his attorney general is out there saying crazy stuff about, you know, the whole voting by mail thing. And then we found out that this DeJoy guy has slowed down the mail, and it's so screwed up, Vivian. I just don't know how. We probably need to call, you know, somebody in to watch over the election. I'm sorry. I just think that we're at that point now where the United Nations or some other neutral country or something should come in and help us out on this, because I think it's out of control. And on both sides, nobody's going to trust it. So where are we going to be?
I completely agree. I completely agree with that. But like I said, my thing is, who thought that he was going to do the right thing? I honestly just don't feel that he's going to do the right thing anyway. So we might as well just be prepared for it. That's what it is. That's how I feel about it, because clearly you said a few minutes ago about it being an occult somehow. Because how could you get all these people involved? You got the postmaster involved with this. Now he's doing your bidding? Really? You already got the DOJ. You already have judges, Supreme Court judges. Come on. This guy is taking over.
And then they're saying that the crazies out there saying the Democrats are planning a coup. But it sure looks like that's what Trump is planning to meet him and Bill Barr. So it's crazy out there. I've just never seen the United States in such bad shape. So
can
even
I say
Dan
one other
Coates
thing, too?
Yeah.
Well, when you just mentioned Barr, what about this whole thing with them, the Department of Justice defending him on that rape charge?
How crazy is that?
See,
yeah, a lot of people are really mad about that. But see, Vivian, the thing is that what Trump does, he throws a lot of stuff out there at us, so we can't concentrate on one thing because he's doing so much bad stuff and wrong stuff. You know darn well the United States Justice Department should not be defending a president in a rape case. That should not even be happening. And then there's another lady has just come out, a former model named Amy Doris, alleges Donald Trump sexually assaulted her in 1997. So it's craziness. It's this pure craziness in the United States. I pray every day and hope that we can really bring this thing back to some kind of normalcy, but I just don't know how it's going to happen with all the lunacy that's going on out there. And I find myself, you know, just getting off of certain websites because I can't deal with it anymore. I totally have deactivated my Facebook account. I had it temporary, but I went in there last week just to see what was going on, and it's even worse than it was before. So I say, you know what? I'm totally deactivating it now. So I will come back at another time, but right now I can't do Facebook. And if there's a group of celebrities out there boycotting Facebook for 24 hours. The ones that have like the big followers, like Kim Kardashian and a few other people, because they're saying of the vitriol that's on Facebook and the misinformation that Mark Zuckerberg is letting get by on his platforms, and how that whole thing when that kid went and shot those people in Kenosha, it was a big Facebook page about that, you know, and they didn't take it down. And, you know, it's just, that's why I can't be on there anymore. I will not support Facebook ever until they make some decent policies about what goes on, what people can put on, you know, their pages, especially when it comes to politics. And I'm sorry. I mean, I just can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, Twitter, they said Twitter is bad too, but I don't get all that. I mean, there are people, the thing about Twitter is that sometimes they will flag certain things if you're out there, you know, and then they'll suspend you if you're out there doing a bunch of cursing and showing nudity and all kinds. They will shut you down. So I guess that's the only platform I really like right now is Twitter, and some people don't like Twitter, but I don't know, this whole social media thing is got a lot of us crazy. A lot of people are losing their mind. Excuse me.
Let me say this just from a technical standpoint. I think the reason why you like Twitter versus Facebook is that Facebook really has a lot of ad estate, meaning they have so much around their feed is so much area for ads that they can place ads, whereas Twitter is a little more reserved than that. Your feed is your feed, and you don't have like those ads every single place to visually look at. You can actually just focus on those topics and those people that you follow. You see what I'm saying? Versus like when I turn on Facebook, there's an ad, you know, to my right. Then there's an ad at the bottom, and then I've got my feed in the middle, and then there's another, you know. And it's a constant barrage. And even in the feed, after so long, you get something, you know. So I think it's more of a ad focused, in which they are, because they sell ads in Facebook, and that's the reason why we're in the predicament that we're in, is because you've got people who are looking at these ads, and some of them through foreign entities or whatever are sending these insightful ads that are, you know, getting people to go out and protest and do other ugly stuff.
Well, what do you think about the whole our voting? I mean, do you think it's going to come out right, or it's going to be a big mess? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I really think, first of all, didn't we hear like last year where Ivanka was involved with, I think, Diebold or one of them, where she went out and purchased all those voting machines, or the company that owns the voting machines? Okay. And then now you're telling me, okay, so one, your daughter owns the voting machines, the company owns the voting machines or a stake in them. Then you're telling me that you've got the postmaster who is slowing all the mail down so that people are not able to, and then it cuts the census off, which is a whole nother thing. To me, you're putting all the pieces together in the puzzle to take the thing. Does it feel like that to you? Because that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody with it that's paying attention, that's what it feels like. I mean, the only people that's not concerned about, why would a president of the United States be sabotaging his own election? I mean, that just is crazy. Well, anyway, remember Dan Coats, the ex-DNI? Well, anyway, he wrote an op-ed today, and I'm going to read just a little bit of it. He was saying, our democracy enemies, foreign and domestic, want us to concede in advance that our voting systems are faulty and are fraudulent, that sinister conspiracies have distorted the political will of the people, that our public discourse has been perverted by the news media and social networks riddled with prejudice, lies, and ill will, that judicial institutions, law enforcement, and even national security have been twisted, misused, and misdirected to create anxiety and conflict, not justice and social peace. So anyway, he's speaking out, and he wants them. He wants some kind of commission form to make sure that our election goes smoothly. So you know, if the director of national, our ex director of national intelligence, is out there saying he believes some stuff is about to go down, we need to be paying attention. I mean, you just can't. I mean, this man has a sparkling reputation, and you know, and he quit because he just couldn't take it no more. He said he tried to hang in there as long as he could, but and he's a former Republican. So I just think when people are speaking out like that, that you know something sinister is really going on in the United States right now. And Vivian, I'm telling you, I don't know how we're going to, I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It does seem like a very dark time, because even with the protests, it just seems like a dark time, because with the civil rights movement, it was a lot of protesting. It was a lot of violence, but it was meaningful and it was organized. Now it is just total chaos. And it doesn't seem like the president is really trying to stop any of it. And we're also doing things that we consider as Americans to be just completely unjust. Like, we would never send our own military against our own citizens. That's a no-go. You don't do that. And that's something that, you know, like I said, we come to find out that those were not actually military. They were actually like Border Patrol and the hired guns. So, and we knew that a little bit, because we understand that the military will not, it's against, the military will never turn against another veteran, because when you're in the military, it's such a high regard, high respect for anyone who served, and especially anyone who served and was a veteran. They would never do that. And we called that here on the show, because we said they would not do that. Then we found out later that that was the Border Patrol doing that. So I don't know. I really feel like that. I don't know. I'm hoping that it just doesn't get worse. But given everything that we're seeing socially, I kind of feel like it's escalating.
Yeah. And then FBI Director Christopher Wray testifies that Russia is working to denigrate Joe Biden and influence the election. So, I mean, Trump even knows that, and our intelligence, you know, Chad Wolf, named the guy that's over ICE and stuff, and we're going to talk about that in a minute too. They know this stuff is happening. Our intelligence know this is happening, and nobody, I feel like nobody's doing anything. What is everybody in on the same thing? They want this to have countries to come in and tell us, you know, who they think should be our leader. I mean, we have fallen so far. And then, since I'm talking about other countries, do you realize that we cannot go to no other country right now because nobody wants us in? Nobody. And that is just,
that's terrible.
I don't think people have. Really just thought about that, because, you know, places like Italy and Europe, they always like the people from the United States to come over there and visit. I mean, that helps their tourism. But right now they say, no, nobody. I mean, out of all the countries, I think the only person that will probably let us in is Brazil, and they're just as bad as we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane. And Canada said, hell no.
Don't even think about it.
Because last week, they had the first day where they didn't have any deaths in the coronavirus. They're doing stuff right. Germany's doing stuff right. United States, we should be totally embarrassed right now how our country's being run. And like I said, and then you remember, just to double back to when he said that, in other words, he's not going to do anything about the virus right now. He's waiting on the vaccine. And so he said, he's telling George Stephanopoulos, there's nothing we can do. We're just waiting for, he said, herd mentality, which he really meant herd immunity. And then they said if we do the whole herd immunity, 3 million people will die. I'm not fine with that. And why should anybody be, you know? But anyway, it's just so much. This administration, like I say, they keep us in chaos. So we can't. They put so much fires out there that we can't even, you know, put them out. So to keep everybody crazy and frustrated, while they're behind the scenes doing all kind of stuff. I think Mitch McConnell the other day, got 6 more judges in. So while all this stuff is happening, everything else is going on, and he's making sure those judges get in so they can shape the course for years to come. We just, you know, it's terrible.
Well, okay, I'm going to go with one other theory, too. He's also putting him in there because he has been hinting and even has said so much that he's seeking another term after this. So if he gets this term, he's seeking another one after that. And the only way you could do that would be if you had the right judges in place.
Yeah.
You could, you know, so I'm just not shocked. I'm honestly just not shocked by any of it at all.
But see, the president is playing his hand. He's showing us, well, who he is. I mean, there's just no doubt about it for us to be skeptical anymore on him, because he's already told us who he is, and he's told us what his plan is. And his plan is to stay or have at least a Trump in there for the next 100 years, you know. So anyway, I don't know if he would be able to pull that one off, because that would be the one time that I would even be out protesting. So I think that would be a really big blow to our country if something like that happened. It's going to be bad enough when Election Day comes and we not know who the president is, because all the shenanigans going on with the mail-in voting. Even if people vote early, they should have the count ready, but they're saying don't expect it to be ready on election night. And then the press secretary the other day, Kayleigh McEnany, whatever her name is, she's saying that they should know the night of the election who won. Well, if we got mail-in voting and then they're sabotaging the post office, we're not going to know.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's just – and then I'm scared that a lot of the votes are not even going to get counted by mail. That's what I'm afraid of. And then we got two things we got to worry about. We got about sabotage on the voting machines, because people think that's why Trump wants everybody to vote, you know, in person and on the machines, because they're going to be controlled. You know, they already know Russia is going to put some kind of something in there to make sure they change the votes. And then we got the post office that may not even count the daggone, you know, ballots that come in. I mean, it's just insane, girl. If somebody would told me that this would be happening in the United States, I would just say, no way. We're never going to have nothing crazy like that. We've always talked about countries that were, you know, we are a third world country right now. I'm just going to say it, because that's what we're acting like.
Well,
and so,
I think,
anyway, go ahead.
Let me just say this right quick. I think there's still people behind the scenes. Now, I'm going to reassure you like you reassured me in the past. I honestly believe that there are people behind the scenes that it looks like they're not doing anything, but the reason why they're staying intact, just like the military, is because you have to understand what's going on and know what's going on and try to mitigate it wherever you can without being noticed.
Yeah.
So that's why I personally, especially with like the military and our intelligence community, because one of the ways that they mitigated some of the issues that we have this administration is by not giving him everything in the briefings. They didn't tell him that. They just didn't give it to him. They just said, yeah, we're aware of that. The higher-ups, they're fully aware of what was going on. CIA, FBI knew what was going on, but they chose not to put that in the intel briefing to him. All I'm saying is that I'm hopeful that someone behind the scenes is just really still checking everything and kind of keeping abreast of what's going on and what he's doing. Because everything in that office, you can be heard. Everything.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're right. Okay, well, let's move on from that, since it's just going to be an ongoing thing that we're going to be talking about until election day. And it's going to probably get real, really crazy before it's all over with. Well, anyway, the other day there was a whistleblower that came out, Vivian, that worked in the detention centers where they have, you know, all the immigrants. And she was saying that one of the immigrants was telling her that she was given a hysterectomy. And this particular doctor has been going around giving some of the immigrant women hysterectomies without their consent. Now, this is being investigated, so it's allegedly. But if this is going on, this is just cruelty. This is just way, this is inhumane. It's bad enough that we're treating the immigrants like they're all criminals. There may be some criminals in the group, but all of them should not be criminalized. And then we've separated the families, and a lot of those children are missing. And there's a theory out there that they've been sold and adopted to American people, which I hope that's not true either. That's another, if we're doing stuff like that, I just don't know what country I'm living in. But anyway, this is supposed to be investigated, so I hope this is not happening. But, you know, our government is not above doing this kind of stuff, because they remember the Tuskegee Institute when they did those syphilis, gay people syphilis, you know, when they were running that whole trial thing on black people. So we're not above it, but
no,
I just hope that we're not going back to this cruelty kind of way of living. What are your thoughts on that?
That we're going back to that cruelty way of living, because that's what they're doing now. I mean, you can see it in so many different ways, but I hope with you that they are not just giving these women hysterectomies just because. But I think it's definitely possible. But what we have to look at, too, is if this doctor is like some lone wolf doing it because he feels like it, not that it's mandated by the government. You see what I'm saying? So we have to make sure of that first, because people do stuff like that. As far as the children being adopted by Americans, hear me out on this. It must be a very desperate thing for you to walk thousands of miles from Colombia to the United States border. There must be something in Colombia or any of those Latin countries that is so egregious that you will not stay there any longer with your family. It's to the point that you are even willing to send your child alone with someone else just to make sure they get out. Something is so egregious in your country that you would not want your children to stay there. So if you just look at that, is it so bad that an American adopted someone? Only if, hear me out, if they were able to contact the parents and the parents said it was okay. And because I don't want to take anyone's kids away. That's just the bottom line. But I have to think that something is terribly wrong when you can put your own child on a train and walk away because it's that bad. So if you're telling me that somebody could raise them in the States where they'll probably have a better life, not for sure about that, but probably have a better life, would you not do that?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's a terrible way of kind of looking at it, but you have to go back to where it started.
Yeah,
I can't imagine putting my kids on the.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but what they're saying is happening, Vivian, is that they're taking these kids away without the parents' consent and putting them up for adoption. That's different.
Yeah.
I can understand where you're coming from. If I would do that, if I knew that things were so bad back home and my family was going to be killed and it's real with the drug lords and all that kind of stuff, and if somebody from America wanted to adopt my child, yes, I would do it. But then also, there's no way these people over in these countries can check out the person that's adopting. Just because somebody wants to adopt you doesn't mean they're a good parent. I mean,
right,
our foster
right.
care system riddled with, you know, abuses from people adopt. I mean, you know, supposed to be good parents and end up abusing the kids and stuff. So it's just a crazy time. But I just hope that this kind of thing is not going on. But I did read that a lot of the parents have not been reunited. They let a lot of kids out. Mexico, from what I've been told, why would you just let a kid out in Mexico and their parents are still in the detention center? Is that what craziness going on in ICE? It's just like the more cruelty they want to do, you know, that's the way they want to run. They're trying to inject fear into the whole country, where they're saying this is how we're going to be. So they're letting us know, you know, if they do immigrants like that, and then you saying, how can a country be so bad? Well, we're on our way to being just as bad as this country these people are leaving. If this administration gets away with it, it may get real bad here in the United States.
Minorities. Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying minorities because we're the ones going to be the first to get, you know, to feel the brunt of whatever happens, whatever goes down. So,
I can see it too. I'm with you.
So anyway, but ICE got a lot of problems, and I think that if we do get a new administration in there, I mean, the only way that we're going to be able to make changes is we have to have the Senate and the Congress, and if we don't do that, nothing is going to change because it'll be just gridlock and nothing will get done. So,
I agree. Let me just say this real quick. Did you see because I know we are running out of time, on Netflix, did you see that documentary about ICE? Because it explains a lot.
Oh, yes,
and
I did.
Okay, so you know, and they turn the blind eye to, like, the parents and stuff while the kids are crying, and they're like, well, it's just something I have to do. And it also showed where they have a lot of leeway as to what they can do, because you have one ICE agent who said, well, you know, if there's kids around and they're working with me, I'm not going to take them away. But then you had the other one said, well, hey, if they're here illegally, then I'm just going to take them. They shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, that shows that the policies are not consistent. That, I mean, one, and you also show that there's cruelty. The other thing is this, if you notice, all of them were very well-dressed, great homes and the whole thing, quite happy. So that tells me that this administration is paying them very, very well to look the other way when they go to pick up these people. And then the other thing is this, is that you have U.S. veterans that participate in the military, fought for this country, came back with a campaign medal, and was deported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Deported.
How can you do that?
How can you do that? A Marine who fought for this country, and you can't give him or her the citizenship? And they fought for this country? They've done more than some of the Americans have. Oh, come on. Come on, really? Come on, guys.
Why should you be surprised about that when slaves were free and they wanted to be soldiers? Same thing. They didn't deport us, but they didn't want us in there and wouldn't give us any benefits or, you know, wouldn't even recognize us. So, you know, it's just we have a history of all this craziness. So, and they say, if you know, history can repeat itself if people let it, and it looks like that's where we're going down. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I know it seems all grim right now, and every day I try to find some positive, you know, somebody doing something positive somewhere so that I can feel better. Because when you just think about the whole gravity of the whole situation of what's going on in our country, it's enormous stress. Because, you know, if you're raising kids and stuff and you don't know what's going on with the schools, I mean, and if you lost your job, you still you're not getting unemployment. I don't know how some people are living because some folks don't even have jobs and they're putting people out of their places. It's just insane, the things. And I'm very blessed and I have an income, and I have a place and a roof over my head, and all my kids are doing well, and they have jobs and stuff. But there's a lot of people out there suffering right now, and we just cannot take things for granted. You just have to, you know, be thankful and try to help somebody if you can. If you know somebody's hurting. That's why I, you know, when I call around to my kids, I said, please do not let yourself get in a situation where you're getting put out of your place and stuff. Call me, call somebody. Do not wait till the last minute. Don't let it get up into the 2 and 3 months. I mean, they ain't going to keep you in there 2 or 3 months, no way. But I'm just saying, if we can do something about it, let's do something about it. I make sure people got food and all this kind of stuff. So and they give everybody do what they, because there are neighborhoods out there. Like I said, there's a lot of good that's going on out there. There are people that are helping others, and we just keep hearing about the bad. But it's going to take citizens in the United States to stand up to a lot of this chaos, because if we just sit back and this, the thing of it, Vivian, there's a lot of people out there don't know what's going on because they don't watch the news, and they just think everything is all right. And it ain't all right. You better start listening, trying to find out what's. I'm not saying you have to watch the news every day, because it is kind of depressing, but you still need to know what's going on with our government, so that you won't be, you know, turning a blind eye to stuff. That's how people get away with stuff, because people turn a blind eye and don't say anything because it's not affecting them.
Exactly. We've got to stand up and start talking about this stuff. But at the same time, when you stand up and no one is willing to assist, like what's going on now with even, I know we're running out of time, but even with, to me, the police officers are escalating. We are seeing more violence towards minorities than I think I've seen in a while. I mean, like, it's like a case after the case after case after case right now. So it's you know,
but,
it's kind of like, who do you go to for that?
Yeah, but
who can we talk to?
You
can't even talk to the federal government.
But you are seeing it, but a lot of these policemen are being either detained or at least they're doing something about it. They may not, you know, they might still end up, some of them are getting suspended. Not all of them not getting away with it. So that's one good thing, you know, because even these last, this last video that came out, those police have been suspended, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think one of them at least was fired. Well,
yeah.
And the other one
was
suspended.
Some
but,
stuff is still being done about it, because I think it's like a case by case in what city it's in and what the police chief is. Like that guy down there in Kenosha, that police chief, you can forget it. So
and Florida, too.
Because some of them,
Florida, that,
yeah, some of them just have that kind of attitude, you know, that they're, you know, hey. But anyway, Vivian, it's been nice talking to you. We are out of time. I mean, we got like 2 minutes left, but my last parting words for this week is going to be stay positive, people. If you can help somebody, help somebody, and go out and please vote. You know, vote like your life depends on it, because it does. And try to stay positive if you can. I know it's rough in these, you know, these days, but you got to find some kind of positivity to keep your own self up. What are your last words here?
I would have to agree, but I think that next time, from now on, we should probably start following up with a good story the last few minutes of, because it's so much darkness. Let's find a good story, like you just said a few minutes ago, to end the show with, because we've got to give people hope.
Okay.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Exactly. Does sound like doom and gloom, because it is. But anyway, I want to thank our listeners for tuning in today. We will be back next Thursday with more hot topics. Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you.